And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. John from Brownsboro texted in and said, I was such a fan of the dude and Jeff Bridges as a person. He dropped a couple of points by speaking for the man and supporting a communist agenda. Still like Jeff Bridges, though. Shaking my head. That's the way I feel about it. I like Sean Astin. I like Jeff Bridges. I mean, I like George Clooney's acting. I'm not a fan of their politics. Not whatsoever. There's a few out there that I just choose not to even want to watch anymore. I mean, it takes a lot to get me to the point that I'll disregard their life's work because of their politics. I don't want to go down that road if I don't have to, and I shouldn't. There's a couple of them. Bruce Springsteen comes to mind. I just can't listen to his music anymore because of the things he's said and done. And then one of the other ones, I don't care if I ever see another De Niro film. I mean, I don't want to go back and even watch old De Niro films because that guy is so incredibly, bitterly, vitriolically awful.
I think actors and people in the public eye like that, they shouldn't have, you know, they shouldn't be out there with their political beliefs out there in front of everybody.
I mean, they have a First Amendment right, you know, but at the same time, I agree with you. It's kind of like a product like Bud Light going out there with Dylan Mulvaney. They just didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And they ruin the audience at that point, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of ruin their name a little bit. Like, just keep quiet and keep acting.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Please. We appreciate the fact that you have an opinion. Not that we wanted it. Butch from Athens says, here's a thought from an old dude. He says, the government/nation is suffering from a severe case of the Peter Principle. I remember the Peter Principle. I need to go back and look at that. I think I had that book on my shelf for the longest time. Thank you, old dude. Mike from Cox, he says, I want to see someone call out the Democrats who lamented the fact that the shooter missed. Well, we're going to get into that here momentarily. Thomas from Athens says, Harris is utilizing race and gender balkanism on steroids. There's lots of voters out there who will fall for that crap. Yes, there is. John from Huntsville again says, David Hasselhoff is the best actor ever. I'm just going to move on. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel Paul in Decatur, the video from Jesse Waters you just posted, these are not men. These are born males, but not men because of their political views. Don't push it off on real men. Okay, point taken. John from Brownsboro says, I think John from Huntsville ought to weigh in on Jeff Bridges and give him a grade. And then last one before I switch dippers, Robert from Madmore said, yeah, and same for athletes. Talk about your comment, Big Rig. Same for athletes, yeah. Kneeling down at the anthem, just play your sport, please. All right, look, we're gonna run down a road here for a minute that it needs to be done. It needs to be. I tell you what is just galling to me is how quickly the mainstream media has decided to forget the fact that a former president of the United States and likely a next president of the United States barely survived an assassination attempt. It's like that one has been somehow just put down in the memory hole. It is off the books right now. What are we doing about it? Well, thankfully, members of Congress are not letting it go. Thankfully, you know what? I'll be honest with you. If we didn't have the slimmest of majorities in the House right now, no questions would be asked at all. None. There would be no media asking about it. There would be no investigations about it. There would be no hearings about it. It would have been just a byline. It'd been like another day on the campaign trail. Dang, there was that day when he had a lot of people there. Did somebody get shot that day? He did. Oh, he did. That's right. I forgot about that. Oh, man. We can't let that be a byline just relegated to the ash heap of history. So I titled this whole dipper here, Trump Shooting, Never Forget. Now, there have been some irritating moments in the aftermath. If you remember, the secretary of the director of the Secret Service, excuse me, Kimberly Cheadle, has now resigned. But only after she came and got her backside handed to her in front of Congress. I mean, she got trounced, and rightfully so, because she was giving evasive answers. I mean, I look at it and think, okay, it's an open investigation. You can't talk about it. Nah, that wasn't it. She didn't even look like she had prepared. She came in there thinking she was going to be able to say, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. And that was going to be enough. The former president was shot. Another man died and two others were hospitalized for an epic and galling failure of security. We cannot let this continue to slide. Well, there was a hearing this week with Kimberly Cheadle's successor. And he, man, it was testy. Kimberly Cheadle didn't look like she knew which way was up in her hearing. But the new guy who is taking her place, I've forgotten his name, is, hang on a second, I got it right here in my notes, Secret Service Interim or Acting Director Ronald Rowe. I mean, he looks like a former, you know, linebacker who's been in the Secret Service for a long time. I'm sure he's got street cred. I don't know anything about him other than the fact that he looks the part. But he got up there yesterday and, oh boy, it got all kinds of testy as Republicans are continuing to wear him out on who's going to be held accountable. Now, I will say this, Kimberly Cheadle resigned. But someone on the ground has got to lose their job over this. You cannot have the lapses of security that we saw, the breakdown of communications that we know happened, the fact that you had decisions being made by somebody to deny certain coverage, like drone coverage, to basically allow gaps in the local to Secret Service communications. And then of all things, for a 20-year-old kid with a firearm to get on a roof 130 yards away and kill people and shoot a president. We're going to talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I mean, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go any further, by the way, over the last month, I've been introducing you guys to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. Look, Inspire Advisors is, I mean, they are so cool, and what they do is so cool. So, first of all, did you know that those of y'all that have investments or you're trying to set aside for your retirement, or maybe you even have a retirement plan that uses a portfolio, that some of your investments may be going to things that are absolutely contrary to the things you say you stand for. Like, you may be shocked to find out that some of your investment accounts may have things in it that support, you know, abortion, pornography, human trafficking. Well, maybe you need to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. So Paul Breyer and the folks at Inspire, they are specialists in the field of what is known as biblically responsible investing, or BRI. So they would love to sit down with you. Paul will do it personally. Sit down with you and give you a sort of an overview, what they call a free impact report of your portfolio, what's in it, and even give you some biblically aligned alternatives. Because folks, I'm telling you, they'll do this and they'll do it for free and they'll do it in person. If you want to learn more about BRI, contact Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. It's real easy. You can go to their website. It's www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. You can also go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio tab, click on the sponsors, go to their logo, takes you right to their stuff. But yeah, go check out Paul Breyer and Inspire Advisors. Y'all, this is conservative, it's godly, it's balanced. It's financial freedom, really. Inspire Advisors. Check them out. I really wish you would. Check them out. By the way, I gotta do a quick aside. This is just, this is, wow. So Trump went to speak today to the Association of Black Journalists. I just watched the video clip real quickly during the break. Now, there's some people there that I trust, like Harris Faulkner from Fox and others. But the first thing that happened, he walked on the stage and, you know, and he comes and he's there. And he comes into an audience that, you know, may or may not like him. He didn't ask in advance, will I be liked? He just came. And he gets on stage and the very first person to greet him, and you could tell by the way she addressed him that this was, oh, this is not going to go good. I mean, she almost was indifferent to his, like, okay, I got to do this because you're here and I have no choice. Anyway, she sits down on the stage and she asks him a question, and this is his response. You ready for this? I'm looking at Big Rig, but I'm talking to everybody. He says, I have never been asked a question in such a horrible manner. First question, you don't even bother to say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I'm pretty sure it went from there. I got to watch that later on, man. That's going to be just hilarious to watch. All right, back on what is not hilarious. Number two, the triple dipper, the Trump shooting. Never forget. So if you didn't catch it, FBI Director Christopher Wray gave testimony last week where, for reasons unknown, he inflicted his own self-inflicted wound by calling into question whether or not Trump was actually shot. Why would you do that? Oh, I'm sorry. He was shot at. He bled. Other people died. But you're going to go, well, we're not sure whether he's really shot. This is Christopher Wray. I think with respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that hit his ear. That matters. First of all, it was a bullet. The ballistics have pretty much confirmed that. His doctor has confirmed that. It punched a hole in his ear. But why would you do that, Christopher Wray? Maybe because there's an indifference in the deep state to the idea of Trump having any moment where he looked heroic. I don't know. But I will say this. The FBI crawfished on that pretty quick. So Senator John Kennedy, who I just love that guy, man. That guy cracks me up. He had FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate on the stand, and he made, you know, he held him to task. He asked Abate, he said, it wasn't a space laser. It wasn't a murder hornet. It wasn't Sasquatch. At which point Abate said, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind whether former President Trump was hit with a bullet and wounded in his ear. There's no doubt. There never has been. In other words, we don't know why our boss said that, but here's the deal. But then you get down to the actual review of the security procedures that led to the shooting itself. Secret Service Director has retired or resigned. In disgrace, mind you. Her 27-year career is now capstoned by the breach of security that allowed this to happen. Had it been something that you look at and go, that was totally unavoidable, like a mortar attack from way outside the perimeter, like I don't know, a sniper who had, you know, skill sets that were way beyond the norm, who was something like, you know, a half mile or more outside the perimeter, those kind of things, what do you do? All right? That wasn't this. This was an entire breakdown of the security order. And it got ugly yesterday when Kimberly Cheadle's successor, the interim director, Ronald Rowe, came to a very, very test. Like the House and Senate are just ticked because they had to deal with Kimberly Cheadle's evasive answers and the fact that, for the most part, no one's been held to account. And they want to know whose head's going to roll. And I'll be honest with you, I get what's about to happen, that I'm going to play this audio clip for you in a minute. And Big Rig, I'll use audio 3 here momentarily. I get what's happening here, where the Secret Service director is trying to defend his rank and file. Okay, to some degree, I understand it. I can remember times in uniform when if somebody chewed out one of my men, I went and chewed out the chewer, and I said, I chew out my men. You got a problem, you come to me. At the same time, if something had really happened, I would have turned around and heads would have rolled. That is not happening right now. We are almost 3 weeks out, and we still don't have anybody who's been held to account for the day that occurred. Story here on the Daily Caller. Ted Cruz, man, got all up in Ron Rowe's business, and they were going at it back and forth to each other. He wanted to know. He said, this is Ted Cruz. Did the same person who denied the request for additional security to President Trump also repeatedly deny the request for security to Robert F. Kennedy? In other words, is there one person we could point the finger at? If there was a breakdown in a denial of services, the security services, is there one person? He points out that, you know, RFK Jr., he had a father and an uncle who were both murdered by assassins. And he wants to say, did the same person make these decisions? Ronald Rowe's response, Senator, I will tell you the Secret Service agents are not political. Cruz asserted just the opposite, saying, no, who Biden appoints is political. And he says, I have a simple question for you. Again, yes or no, did the same person deny the Trump quest that also denied the RFK request? Senator, it's not a yes or no question, he says. There's a process for candidates and nominees to receive protection. And then Cruz said, is the relative size of the Trump detail compared to the detail assigned to the president and the first lady? Ronald Rowe says, the same level of security goes for Trump that goes for Biden and the First Lady. But Josh Hawley had one of the most contentious moments. Audio clip number three. This is the same. In fact, Josh Hawley is sitting next to Cruz in this video. I'll play you the audio of it. It's pretty epic. Go ahead.
Isn't the fact that a former president was shot, that a good American is dead, that other Americans were critically wounded, isn't that enough mission failure for you to say that the person who decided that that building should not be in the security perimeter probably ought to be stepped down?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days, just like you have.
Fire somebody to hold them accountable.
I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity and not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted.
Unfairly persecuted?
Unfairly,
we've got people
sir,
who are
we
dead.
Have to be able to have a proper investigation into this.
But go back to the multiple failures that
there.
We saw.
Stop there. I can feel the leadership issues that this guy Ron Rowe is going through right now. But Josh Hawley is not wrong. The idea that they would say unjustly persecuted, Josh Hawley's right, unjustly persecuted, people are dead. A former president was shot. I mean, look, at some point you have to go ahead and go, wow, we screwed up. I will say, Ronald Rowe says this was a breakdown. He admits it. In a separate portion of the hearing, he admits there was a breakdown. Good for him. But I think what is missing right now is the definition of the breakdown. Is it early? It's not that early. It's not. This is not going to be hard to figure out. How'd the guy get on the roof? Did he have a ladder? How'd the guy get to the roof? Did he have a secret tunnel? How'd the guy become a suspicious character that was noted for an hour and a half prior to the shooting, and yet no one warned the security detail who had the president's immediate, you know, close proximity security in mind? How is it that the crowd was seeing somebody on the roof where he shouldn't be, acting suspiciously, and even pointing at the fact that he had a rifle, and the president was still allowed to be on the stage? How'd that happen? How is it that drone coverage was not allowed? How'd that happen? And the question that Ted Cruz asked is a great one. Was this relative to one individual? Is there someone in the bureaucracy of the Secret Service who's anti-Trump who was going, I'm not giving him extra coverage. He's got all the coverage he's going to get. I'm not giving him more. Or was there just such a stretching of the limitations of the Secret Service that they couldn't do any better? And if that's the case, that's a systemic problem. If what happened that day is just the best they could do, I got news. That rooftop, 135 yards away, was not hard to figure out. If a 20-year-old kid with his daddy's gun knows that that's a good vantage point, and he can get to it, and he can fire the shot, and he can be seen by counter snipers who are able to put a round in his head, then I got news. There's been a major breakdown, and I'm not one. I don't want to see rank and file just chewed up in this thing. I don't. There doesn't need to be a scapegoat. I'm glad Kimberly Cheadle resigned because she and technically, I'll be honest with you, I think she waited a week too long. She needed to resign. She was a freaking DEI hire. She was the darling of the First Lady, who used to work on the First Lady's detail, who was brought out of retirement from the Secret Service to come back and take the position because we need a woman to break a glass ceiling. And guess what? Now look at us. She made a push to hire people for demographic reasons and not because they were good at their jobs. And where are we? People are dead. Heads need to roll. I'm sorry, that's life. Life's hard. Get a helmet. Let's take a break, brother. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll put a lid on this one. There were six takeaways from that hearing on the Trump assassination attempt that I'll bring to you. And they're worth looking at. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. And by the way, up on the big screens here in the studio, there are apparently local officials now who are contradicting what the acting Secret Service director said on CNN that's being reported. They're saying they're disputing his testimony. Basically, what they're saying is we think we got the blame shucked off on us, and that's not accurate. I'll find out more about their testimony, which is live right now, breaking on CNN. So there's an article that came out on Daily Signal, Dateline today. Its headline is Six Takeaways from the Senate Hearing. Let me go through a few of them at the very least. Number one, one of the takeaways from this hearing was apparently it was now confirmed that the Secret Service, they will, by their own admission, cannot defend why the roof was not better secured. They can't. Acting Director Rowe and other Secret Service agents visited the site of the campaign rally in Pennsylvania after the fact. He said he personally said he climbed up on the rooftop where the 20-year-old gunman fired at Trump. He said, this is his quote, he said, "I went to the roof of the building where the assailant fired the shots, and I laid in the prone position to evaluate his line of sight, and what I saw made me ashamed." He said, "As a career law enforcement officer and a 25-year veteran of the Secret Service, I cannot defend why that roof was not better secured." Well, at least he was candid there. He went on to talk, too, about the fact that they tried to recreate the sight lines of the various counter-sniper teams to see, should he have been more visible? Was he more visible? There's actually a new video that came out today. I saw it on social media before the show that was taken by, and I believe it was actually taken by one of the people that was shot in the crowd. And you could see the shooter on the roof in the background moving about. Not like wide open, but you could still see like the profile of his head as he moved from one place to another. All right, another takeaway. Another takeaway is the FBI's investigative results, because the FBI has the lead right now on the investigation. And they should, because they're having to investigate. Secret Service should not be allowed to truly investigate all its own, right? But Deputy Director of the FBI, Abate, the one I talked about earlier, said the FBI has already interviewed more than 460 people, and they've also done what they can to access the shooter's electronic devices. Thus far, they say, quote, "absolutely nothing's been ruled out. The investigation has not identified a motive, nor any co-conspirators or others with advanced knowledge." I mean, talk about clean as a whistle, no prior footprint, no outside connections, no co-conspirators. Good Lord. Really? 20-year-old Nebish takes daddy's rifle and breaches the most pristine and capable security force in the world. I mean, VIP protection is like one of the hallmarks of Secret Service duty. And this kid did it. Okay. They also point to the FBI recreating the timeline, saying that law enforcement officials first saw the shooter just before 4:30. At 5:14, local law enforcement identified him as a suspicious person. At 5:30, a local SWAT team operator took a picture of him from a distance. Less than half an hour later, law enforcement notified Secret Service Command Post that the person was suspicious. Between 6:02 and 6:08 p.m., law enforcement officers lost sight of him. At 6:06 p.m., the shooter was actually on the rooftop. 2 minutes later, officers saw him on the roof. At 6:11 p.m., law enforcement radioed the suspicious person had a gun. He fired about 30 seconds later with one bullet grazing. So let me get this straight. 30 seconds is a lifetime. If I've learned any one thing in radio, it's how much you can get done during a 3-minute commercial break. Big Rig and I laugh about it sometimes. Like we just had a break a minute ago. He ran downstairs to make a phone call. There are times when I'll go downstairs because the law firm that I work at is down below. I'll go downstairs, sign some papers, check a few things, grab something out of my office, come back up here. I got a minute left. I could mow the grass during a 3-minute break. This guy had 30 seconds. That's a long time, y'all. All this time, he was seen, by the way, with a rangefinder at one point. A rangefinder is not the normal thing you would take to an event. Any of y'all ever work with rangefinders? You know, a rangefinder is the kind of thing you use with a specific purpose in mind. It's not the one you watch the concert or the speech with. There are so many questions, so much. We can't let this be forgotten. Trump shooting, never forget. Let's know more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up next. Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. We'll be right back.